film now, three new movies up for review. Black comedy, Calvary, starring Brendan Gleeson. Martial arts sequel, The Raid 2. And science fiction thriller, The Last Days on Mars. Joe Griffin and Roisin O'Brien have been to see them for us. They're with me in studio this evening. We'll start with Calvary from the team that made The Guard. Writer-director John Michael McDonagh and actor Brendan Gleeson. Gleeson in this is playing a character called Father James Lavelle. Rather, what sort of priest are we talking about here, Joe? And he finds himself in a rather difficult position at the beginning of the movie.
This is a good priest, which aren't very common in films. I guess they're not as dramatically interesting. I think the last time I saw a good priest would have been in I Confess or something. So the predicament he finds him in is he hears a confession and the confessor confesses to a sin that he's about to commit. He says, the confessor says that he was molested as a child, and as retribution, he's going to kill a kindly priest, which will supposedly shock the church and the nation to its core. That will be the ultimate retribution. So the following 7 days, the priest has to get his affairs in order and also to play a kind of a Cluedo, where he goes around and counsels the parishioners, but also tries to weed out who the potential killer might be.
So I guess it's about the interaction, really, Roisin, between Brendan Gleeson's priest and the other inhabitants of this village or town. What sort of people live there?
Well, it's a very, very small town in Sligo. I think it's six people in total or something like that. So, you know, it's kind of making it seem like it's a tiny little village, and that's the extent of it. The people themselves are very troubled. You've got a few different kind of characters. That you've got a domestic abuse character. You've got a man who wants to join the army.
Give us who the various actors are playing.
Killian Scott, who plays the guy who wants to go to the army, and he's kind of troubled in that he can't really communicate well with other human beings. So you kind of have a plethora of different characters that he is counselling, but at the same time he's very sceptical as to who it is kind of conducting these.
So are we talking essentially about a who's going to do it as opposed to a whodunit?
That's a good way to describe it as well. It's also a kind of a state of the nation film, so it addresses the clerical abuse and people losing faith in the church and the collateral damage, and that the kindly priests are also victims of the abuse as well, and that people don't trust them anymore. And then it even tries to address the economic fallout and how some people made out like bandits while others were punished terribly for somebody else's sins. So it tries to be a lot of things as well as a little who's going to do it.
Let's have a listen to an interaction between the Father James character played by Brendan Gleeson and that Killian Scott character that you mentioned earlier, Roisin.
Milo.
I need to speak to you, Father.
Take a pew, literally.
Why do people kill themselves, Father?
Why do people kill themselves? Let's jump it in the deep end. Lots of reasons, I suppose. Why do you think yourself?
I don't know. The drink. Depression. Lack of sex, maybe.
You're a presentable young man. I wouldn't have thought you'd have much trouble in that area.
I don't have the gift of the gab. Never had it.
It's making you feel suicidal.
More bored than anything else. It's either committing suicide or joining the army.
Those are pretty drastic choices either way.
You can learn a trade if you join the army.
You can learn a trade if you don't join the army.
You can experience more of life.
You think you can become a more authentic person by fighting in a war? By killing people?
You're against me joining the army is what I'm sensing.
Well, let's put it this way. I've always felt there's something inherently psychopathic about someone who joins the army in peacetime. As far as I'm concerned, people join the army because they want to find out what it's like to kill someone. I hardly think that's an inclination that should be encouraged in modern society, do you? Jesus Christ didn't think so either. And the commandment, thou shalt not kill, does not have an asterisk beside it, referring you to the bottom of the page, where you find a list of instances where it's okay to kill people.
What about self-defense?
It's a tricky one, all right.
Brendan Gleeson as Father James and Killian Scott as Milo in Calvary, the new film from John Michael McDonagh. That's quite a sombre clip as I'm listening to it there. Now, granted, out of context, Roisin, but the sort of world that I associate with John Michael McDonagh from The Guard is a blackly comic one. Is it blackly comic in context, or what? How would you describe the nature of this film?
I think the McDonagh brothers, in general, kind of tend to stay in that black, dark comedy genre. It is very much in every context of black comedy. The characters are dark, the dialogue is dark, Even the subtext is very dark. Even the kind of the film itself in the way it's shot is quite bleak. And it doesn't really need that help in the cinematography itself because the story is so dark in itself. So yeah, I do find that across the board, it is a very dark comedy.
So that bleakness then, does that overpower? Because you also, Joe, were talking about a lot of issues that are brought up and many of them very serious issues. Does the bleakness overpower the sense of comedy that was certainly there in The Guard, John Michael McDonagh's previous film?
It's not nearly as light a film as The Guard. And I think it's a lot less confident a film. The Guard seemed to know what it was a lot more. The Guard was like a modern Irish rural Western with kind of a Western score and everything to it. This seems like a bleak diatribe treatise that just happens to have some sprinkling of comedy in it. And even those sprinklings of comedy are quite coarse and vulgar and dark as well, to use that word once again. So a lot of people have talked about it as if it's a full-on comedy, but it's not. It's quite a dirge at times.
Performances then, a lot of praise for Brendan Gleeson in this role already that I've seen, and he won the IFTA for it the mm-hmm. other night. So what would you say of his performance, Roisin, first of all?
I thoroughly enjoyed his performance. Yeah, I thought he played Father James very, very well. He does kind of give him a few layers so that he isn't just this very good priest.
Because there's also an estranged daughter in the background as well.
He does. That's played by Kelly Riley. And she kind of coincidentally shows up, I think, today or the day after he is threatened with this. So she kind of appears and there is then this subtext that he has a past. So he had a wife, they had a kid. And then when his wife passed on, he decided to join
the priesthood.
Yes, exactly.
So Gleeson's performance pleased you. What about the periphery cast? Because you look down through it, Pat Short, Aidan Gillen, Dylan Moran, Owen Sharp, Killian Scott, who we've already mentioned. I mean, it's a veritable who's who of the Irish acting world.
There is quite a lot of familiar faces here, all right. And I think they vary a lot. Well, a big problem with this film, probably the biggest problem I had, was that Brendan Gleeson was really naturalistic and really subtle and everything was interior and inside and unspoken. Whereas the eccentric array of characters are...
Because there are a lot of comedians in there too, as well as actors.
Yeah, Dylan Moran and Pat Short, for example. But they're all these supporting characters are really colourful and eccentric, and a lot of them don't ring true. So Dylan Moran, for example, I think is a terrific actor, both comedic and dramatic, but he's kind of at sea with his character because I'm not sure where they're going with him.
Is that in the writing of the director or in his performance?
No, that would be in the writing, I would say. I'm not sure what we're supposed to make of him. I'm not sure whether we're supposed to pity him or loathe him or sympathise or what. Other actors fare better. Orla O'Rourke as a philandering housewife mm-hmm. is pretty great. It's pretty naturalistic. Chris O'Dowd has a nice light touch to his character. He's quite a complicated character. But then Killian Scott as well. I found it quite hard to get a foothold. And Aidan Gillen is very problematic for me in it.
As what does he play? He
plays a one-note atheist, cynical doctor with a very dodgy accent.
All right. I'm getting very mixed feelings from the pair of you. So a sum up from you, or I was going to call you, Roisin, and stars out of five.
Okay, so out of five, I gave this because I felt like I should give it an extra point. Just for Brendan Gleeson alone.
So his performance...
Yeah, pretty much. I gave it a 2 out of 5. The film itself did not work at all for me.
And for you, Joe?
I thought it was quite entertaining with all the conflict, but I also felt that it really rang false. So 3 for me.
All right, let's move on to film number 2 then. You've been to see the follow-up to the successful martial arts movie, The Raid. Roisin, this is The Raid 2. What are these films about? Probably one word will tell us.
You think that, but it is actually quite complicated. So The Raid 2, it's Barandal, if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably going to pronounce a lot of this wrong. I'm very sorry. I apologise in advance. So it's set 2 hours after The Raid Redemption, which is the first instalment. And it does away with the very limiting formula of the first one. So in the first Raid, we have... it's in one tower block and it's set in that for the entire film.
Yeah, and they're making their way up to the
top.
And
they're kind of karate chopping their way back down to the bottom.
To get out, yeah.
So in this one, we are introduced again to our hero, Rama, who successfully uncovered police corruption at the highest level. And he's tasked now in going undercover to take down a Jakarta crime syndicate. First, however, he must do a lengthy stint in prison. So he becomes friends with Uko, who is the son of Bangun, and he is a deadly crime boss who runs the Jakarta. So Uko is a supervillain in this. He's really, really bad.
Yeah, and essentially what we get is the Rama character trying to inveigle his way into this crime family and to find out about police corruption. That's the plot, but this is all about the fighting.
This is pretty much all about the fighting, with one absolutely gobsmacking, tremendous car chase as well in the final act. The martial arts in this, Shina Palat, I think they call it, is just absolutely incredible. I don't know how these casts aren't all going home in those comical full body casts at the end of this. And there's so many scenes in this and in the first raid where people are thrown out of windows or land from 20 feet above onto the ground. And I'm just amazed that they get back up again ever. So it's a really eye-popping action film to watch. And the director has a great eye for the geography of the screen.
This is Gareth Evans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gareth Evans, who's a Welshman. And he has a great eye for telling you where the fights begin, where everyone's going, what everyone's trying to do. He doesn't edit it too choppily. So even though it's completely frantic and hectic and incredibly violent, you always know what's going on. And that's not usually the case with action movies, especially these days.
All right. A lot of fights in it. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 hours and 30 or 40 minutes, isn't it?
Two and a half hours long.
So do we get any... Does a time come when you almost become immune to the nature of this violence because there is so much of it?
I don't... Well, when I watched it, I found that I was completely enthralled for 2.5 hours. I didn't feel
because
the time
because of the choreography of the violence?
Yeah, the choreography itself was unbelievable. The fight scenes are very successive in that there is a very elaborate storyline running through it along with these successive fight scenes. So there is a lot going on in that you have to kind of figure out who's who, what's going on, who kind of is backstabbing who, along with all these successive, over-the-top, amazing fight scenes.
But the first film, The Raid, he found it hard to get the money to make it. So, in fact, this film was put on hold, the second one, and he came back to it after the success of The Raid. So it's a much longer, it's either a more sprawling film or a more complex film. Which is it?
Can it be both? Am I allowed to say it's both? It's a much more ambitious film, I would say. It's not as tight, it's not as efficient or lean as first film, but there is a trade-off, and I think what we get in exchange for that is a greater sense of scale and more of a scary idea, actually, of this crime family that just seems to have fingers in pies all the way across Jakarta, so characters can't get into a taxi without being assaulted or go to a restaurant or a nightclub without it exploding into chaos. So, yeah, we lose a bit of the tightness and urgency of the first film, but we do get greater scale and better performances actually this time around.
All right, so how does that all transfer into Stars Out of Five from you, Joe, first of all?
I thought it was super exciting and great value, so 4.5 out of 5 for me.
Do you have to be a fan of martial arts to go to see this?
No, but it helps.
And what are you saying, Roisin, overall and
I
Stars?
I am the same, 4.5 out of 5, and I don't think it helps at all to be a martial arts fan whatsoever. I think that you go and I think it's enjoyable for everybody.
Well, there you go. That's both of you on The Raid 2. Very high marks indeed, both up in the 4s. All right, let us move on then to our final film, The Last Days on Mars. I guess the title tells us the setting. And why are they the last days on Mars, Joe?
They're the last days on Mars because it's the end of a big, long expedition there. Something like 6 months, and it's the last something like 72 hours before they leave. This crew of astronauts and scientists are just about to finish up and get replaced by another crew, as is often the way in these horrific films. So just when they're getting ready to leave and they're bickering about work and stuff, one scientist goes out to find something that he thinks is unusual or suspicious. And that's when things start to go horribly wrong.
All right. Let us hear a section at the early part of the movie where two of the people on the ship are essentially saying, you know, I want to get home. They're fed up waiting to get there. Irwin is played by Johnny Harris. Vincent is played by Leif Schreiber.
What the hell happened to them?
It's low pressure. Near vacuum. They've got the bends.
When are you guys going to get it? It's not them anymore. They're gone now.
That door's reinforced steel. They can't get through.
They have power tools. They have high explosives. They can get out.
If they blow the door, the decompression will kill him.
It won't.
Brunel's in a bad way. We need to move him now.
All right, let's get him to the hydroponic dome. Kim, get the airlock. Let's go, now.
Okay, we're gonna move you now.
We gotta go now. Move.
We're gonna move you up. One,
come on, skipper. Let's go.
Three, oh, wait a minute.
Now, that's clearly not two men talking about being very fed up and wanting to get home. That's a clip with Olivia Williams, who is also on the ship. Just what is her role briefly, Roisin?
She plays the kind of macho feminine role. She is very much her own self. And she is trying to, I think she what she wants to be in this film is she wants to be the one who gets this viral strain of bacteria and brings it back home, whereas that kind of fails her and she's kind of on a slow kind of descent downwards.
How does Marge look in this? It's an Irish director, by the way, we should say, Rory Robinson, and a pretty young director. Is this his first feature?
It's his first feature, but he's made a lot of shorts. A lot of them were quite well received, one of which, 50% Grey, got loads of international attention. So it's quite low budget, especially compared to what he was going to make. He was attached to make Akira at one stage. It's really mega budget Hollywood blockbuster. So it's quite a good looking film, I think. And Mars looks great. There's a dust storm at the start, all this red dust just enveloping one of the Mars rovers that they're driving in. And it looks intimidating and vast. And so it's quite a stylish little film. I think it'll be in the genre of sci-fi horror, like The Thing or Alien or something like that.
Also, people are talking about sci-fi zombies.
Yes.
How did the zombies come into it? Are we giving too much away?
Not at all, no. So this is like World War Z set on Mars, minus Brad Pitt, unfortunately. But yeah, the zombies kind of, as it is such a small crew, the zombies are obviously a massive part in this film, but because there aren't many characters to work with, you're kind of left with a very small area that are zombies.
So only the if 7 or 8 people in the cast can become zombies.
Exactly. So it is obviously a massive part of the film, but at the same time, it can't really overload the movie.
This is based on an original story by Sidney J. Bounds. Do we get anything new in the sci-fi horror, sci-fi zombies genre here, or is it pretty predictable where we're going?
That's the only real problem with the film, is that it's quite derivative. So it's similar to other films, some of which are superior, like Alien or The Thing or Event Horizon. I'm a big fan of Event Horizon. Mm-hmm. Pitch Black, and then one inferior sci-fi film, Prometheus. So there's also familiarity with some of the characters, mentioning the character Kim. She's a lot like Ripley in the Alien films. The different motivations and how people's true personalities emerge in the face of mortality and crisis. That's a lot like a lot of those other films as well.
Standout performance and stars out of 5.
Stars out of 5, I gave 3 out of 5.
And a standout performance, was there one for you?
I did enjoy Liev Schreiber in this movie.
He plays the sort of the commander.
Yeah, he does it very well. Yeah.
And from you, Joe?
I thought it was really fun but derivative, so a good solid 3. And I liked Liev Schreiber and Elias Kotis, who's a great Canadian actor in it.
All right, that is. Those are the 3 films we've been talking about this evening with Joe Griffin and Roisin O'Brien. The Last Days on Mars, The Raid 2 and Calvary, all of which are on general release from tomorrow.